So the first question they asked me was, what did you want to use? And I barely could even answer that, so this is going to go great tonight. So if you don't, if you would turn your Bibles to this is going to be a long night. Okay, 1 Timothy 4:12. My original message was going to be something completely different than this. Then God looked at me and said, you're not doing this, you're doing this. Oh. So he has a reason. So when you get there, if you would say amen. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." My sermon tonight is about examples. If you remember from my graduation speech, my main goal was to try to convince people to try to learn to be a good example to the younger kids, or even some of the elders to be good examples to the young couples. So the Bible says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Paul in this chapter is speaking to Timothy and telling Timothy what the Holy Spirit has told him, what will happen in the future at the beginning of the chapter, some of which are lies and hypocrisy and forbidding to marry. Then goes to tell Timothy to refuse profane and old wives' fables. In a sense, do not follow what lucrative things people are thinking. For example, if you want to think of it this way, as Bigfoot. People who their whole goal in life is to try to prove there's a hairy man hiding in the forest. You know, if you want to just go put a gorilla suit on and go out there, go have fun with him. So that he does not get distracted with lies and can focus on the true matters of life, which is spreading the word of God. Going down now to verse 12, Paul is telling Timothy to be a good example to the youth. But why? Why does he want to be a good example? Why does Paul specifically mention, "I want you, Timothy, to be a good example to the youth"? Now, if we head down to verse 16, the answer is here. "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Take in them. Paul explains to Timothy that to save others, they need to see a difference in you. Now, a few questions now arise from this answer. First, what good traits does an example of Christ need? Second, are there traits you can learn from a bad example? Can you look at a bad example and see, what can I learn from this? And finally, who do we look up to as the ultimate example? First, we look at the traits an example of Christ needs. In 1 Samuel 16:11, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come thither." This is a good trait that we can see from David, his loyalty to the job. Even though he knew his brothers and his father were not going to be home to make sure he was in fact doing his job to watch the sheep, he was there. Jesse didn't need to worry about thinking, David's at one of those parties again. Ugh. He didn't have to worry about David not being there or deserting his job. He knew, my son, my youngest, he's watching the sheep like I told him to. Amen. Now, if I look at James 5:10 then, yeah, we're going to be using the Bible a lot. I'm sorry, people. If you didn't like the Bible, you should not come here. "Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience." this verse is talking about the prophets of God now and even in the past, who are, as Pastor said this Sunday, prophets in, I can't remember what country, I know, my memory's amazing, where they are to spread the gospel means you must lose your hands. It's hard to imagine us living in America. We're looking at my hand right now. I couldn't imagine not it being there. But there are people in the world today that we can look up to and say, even though they are suffering an affliction, they don't care because they're doing it for Christ. And we can look to them being like, we should be able to do what they're doing as an example. Who even back then, if we look at the past where people got stoned for it, where it wasn't just, oh, we're just going to throw a few pebbles at you. Then when you learn it hurts, okay, maybe you'll stop. No, they would find heavy boulders sometimes, even just sharp rocks that many, many people, sometimes a whole village, would get around one person and just throw them as hard as they could, just making it so that you would bleed and suffer a horrible death. But those prophets were willing to lay down their life because Christ is worthy. Now, to my second point. Can we learn something from a wrong example or trait? In 2 Samuel 11:19, of course, I wrote down the wrong verse anyway, but I found it good. Okay, so we're good. And 11:3, I meant. 3. Okay. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" We see David's sin in this verse. Even though David had good traits that we can all learn after, we can use his bad traits as well and learn from them and grow. In this verse, we see David's sin with Bathsheba. Later in the book of 2 Samuel, we come to the point where David then has to come and make a decision upon this baby. At first, he tries to force Uriah to be with his wife so that he can pretend the baby's his. When that doesn't work, because Uriah, a good man, who, when all his brethren were at war, instead of going inside his house, he stayed on the street and slept there to make it even. David then had to kill him by sending him to the front lines. Yeah. So through David's sin, he first lost Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. And then later in the chapter, when the baby is born, the baby dies. So through David's sin, we can realize sin brings death. Sin has consequences. Now, in Jude 7, for anybody who knows how many chapters in Jude, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. In this verse, they are being set aside as a bad example, who they were given a chance at repentance. These cities were given chances to repent, but they wouldn't. So what God had to do was make them an example of suffering and of consequences. I've had traits that I wish these young people never saw me do. I remember one time clearly, and I wish I could forget, but that's another consequence of sin. You never forget. Until we go to heaven and we have our perfect bodies. Oh, I love that thought. I remember one time I was goofing around with the kids, and one of them did something, and I got in their face and started screaming. Not in love, in anger. That day, I hope even though it was an evil thing I did, I hope the kids looked at me and said, "I know not to do that in anger to any other kid." So then comes my last point. Who can we look up to as the ultimate example? Who can we look up to and be like, no matter what, he cannot fail us. He will not forsake us. And that man is Christ. In John 13:15, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Previous in this verse, this is the verse and chapter sequence where God is washing the disciples' feet. And it's a picture of salvation. Where as he has cleansed us, we should go cleanse others and just be an example to them. And through this, we learn that even the most disgusting part of anybody can be cleansed by Christ. In James 5:10, I know, again, I'm making you flip everywhere, people. We go back to the prophets. As Christ suffered for us, we should be willing to suffer for Christ. In verse, Christ suffered wrongfully so that we could be with him. So through this, we should be able to take it patiently. You never heard Christ scream at the people whipping him. You never hear of the people who were torturing Christ saying that this man screamed like a pig and cursed us out. We get worried because somebody curses us out one day and we get discouraged and quit. It is disheartening hearing that when you do get screamed out or cursed out. But then when you think about how Christ got stuck to a cross with a crown of thorns in his head, bleeding, and his eyes just swelled, and he couldn't see a thing, it makes you be like, this is the least I can do. Amen. There are many traits we can take after Christ. Anywhere you look in the Bible, there's always things pointing us to Christ. My original message was something completely different than this. I was going to talk about stages of life. And of course, me being 19, of course I know all the stages. You guys know this. So I realized already that was wrong. And then Christ told me, nah, you're doing this instead. I was really wondering why. I was so close to finally being done and Christ told me no. I wondered why. Why did you want me to preach this? It hit me. Not physically. Danny didn't come in my room and hit me. Kid Zone. The whole point of Kid Zone this year is to reach the community. If we act just like the community, are they going to see a difference in us? This is something that just touched me. To be different in the community. We went to Aldi's the one day, and of course, when you buy 60 free hot dog buns, everybody's going to look at you and be really confused. So the lady looks at me and says, I know you. I was horrified. I'm thinking, oh man, what did I do to this poor woman? And she's like, I remember you from Subway. I'm like, oh man, this is even worse now. Now she probably remembers how awful I made this sandwich. She's like, I just remember you because of your caring personality. And we were able to talk to her, and she might be coming to Kid Zone now because of it. It's just, your example does matter. I'm looking at all these kids, and I'm like, oh, man. I remember when I was in your guys' position. Enjoy while you are in this position. So, and now I'm even looking at just the adults, and I'm looking up to them. I don't want to know how stressful that is. I'm going to find out in a few weeks. But I got to say, church, I want to praise you on your example you have shown me. Now, we haven't had every kid come in here be perfect. But I can tell you this, it was because of their own accord. I can't thank you enough for the example you guys have given me. And I'm just trying to encourage you right now at the end, saying, keep this example up, because these little kids, they'll need it. In a world, I've seen what the world is like. Woo, buddy. I can't thank God enough for this church that he's given us. I hope my message has helped you guys in some way. I don't know. A 19-year-old doesn't have much wisdom, so I don't. Pastor looked at me one day at school and said, hey, you're preaching this day. Oh. So just thank you for listening, church, and again, love you all.